This is the Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Welcome to our half-hour daily program for Africa.
Welcome to your Sunday liturgy. This is the program that accompanies you as you prepare for the Sunday Eucharistic celebration. After the Sunday liturgy, you can listen to our bulletin of church news that will be followed by Panorama. Then, our feature, The World Around Us, with news about our environment. I'm Father Paul Samasumo. Whenever we repent of our sinfulness, God does not want our lives, all our souls, to remain empty. He fills them with Himself. But God has also created us with a gift of free will. This means we can accept or refuse His presence in our lives. Repentance and belief are key to living an authentic Christian life.
Third Sunday in Ordinary Time.
A reading from the book of Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Set out for the great city of Nineveh, and announce to it the message that I will tell you." So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh, according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city, and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more, and Nineveh shall be destroyed." When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, He repented of the evil that He had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. The Word of the Lord.
Teach me
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them, those weeping as not weeping, those rejoicing as not rejoicing, those buying as not owning, those using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat, mending their nets. Then he called them. So they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord.
Here now is Father Enobom with this week's Sunday Liturgy Reflection.
It is important that we do not confuse the call to repentance with the practice of going to church or any of those external religious practices. It is more than that. It is not a call to frequent the church. It is not a call to increase the hours of prayers, nor a call to increase the hours of fasting, as many of us Christians in Africa will think. It is a call to be Christ-like. It is a call to live detached from earthly things that often corrupt our minds towards the good. It is a call to influence the temporal order, the political thoughts, the family, and indeed every aspect of our lives with the good things of God. We cannot claim to be in God, and the positive impact of our faith cannot be seen in the society. The fruits of our repentance are to be seen in our churches, in our families, and the entire society, as was the case in Nineveh. For us Africans, one would think that with the many churches and faith communities springing up every day and in every street of our communities, righteousness, peace, and joy will follow suit. But unfortunately, it is not the case. Therefore, we believe that the word of God that resounds in our streets every day of the week is not falling on deaf ears. That we Africans, like the Ninevites, will believe the call to repentance and turn away from our wickedness and do the will of God. And God, on his part, will be gracious and bless us and our land. The time to repent is now. Do not delay. May the message of Christ in all its richness continue to find a home in our hearts through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Peace be with you.
Robin Peary and Father Hilary Munyaneza contributed to the program. The Gospel Reflection was by Father Enobom Udo Idiong, and I'm Father Paul Samasumo. Do stay tuned now for Church News.
Oh, The Holy See released on Saturday Pope Francis's message for this year's 55th World Communications Day, which will be marked in the Catholic Church on May 16th. The theme of the message is Come and See, Communicating by Encountering People as They Are. In the message, Pope Francis calls upon journalists to commit themselves to original investigative reporting because it grasps the truth of things and the concrete lives of people. He warns that original investigative reporting in newspapers, in television, radio, and web newscasts is being replaced by a reportage that adheres to a standard and often biased narratives. The Holy Father praises the courage and commitment of journalists, camera operators, editors, and directors who risk their lives to uncover the truth. Thanks to their efforts, he writes, we now know a lot beyond ourselves, for example, about the hardships endured by persecuted minorities in various parts of the world, numerous cases of oppression and injustice inflicted on the poor and on the environment, and many wars that otherwise would be overlooked. Speaking about the Internet, Pope Francis states that with its countless social media expressions, it provides opportunities to increase the capacity for reporting and sharing information. But he warns that the Internet has often been used as a source of misinformation. News and even images on the Internet, he says, can be easily manipulated for many reasons, including sheer selfishness. The Pope concludes his message with a reminder to all Christians that they are called to communicate by encountering people where they are and as they are. Reports from South Sudan say the Salesian congregation has opened a hospital in the Diocese of Rumbek. The facility is specialized in maternal health care. It is named after a South Korean Salesian missionary, John Lee Tao Sok, a medical doctor who died of cancer in 2010. Father John Lee worked for many years in the Salesian mission of Tonji in Rumbek Diocese, where he cared for the health of hundreds of people. The facility is known as John Lee Memorial Hospital. It has a 50-bed capacity, 2 operating theaters, several delivery rooms, an analysis laboratory, and a house capable of accommodating about 15 volunteers who help in bridging the gap in maternal health care in Rumbek. The Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons entered into force on Friday, January 22nd. During his midweek general audience on Wednesday, Pope Francis strongly encouraged all states and all people to work towards promoting the conditions that are necessary for a world without nuclear weapons, because this will contribute to the advancement of peace and multilateral cooperation, which humanity greatly needs today. On Friday, the United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres issued a message calling the ratification of the treaty by UN member states a big step towards a peaceful world. Daniel Johnson reports.
A development hailed by the UN Secretary-General as an important step towards a world free from weapons of mass destruction. In his message, the UN chief commended the states that had ratified the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons. Antonio Guterres also welcomed the instrumental role of civil society in the negotiation and entry into force of the pact. The survivors of nuclear explosions and nuclear tests offered tragic testimonies and were a moral force behind the treaty, he said, adding that its entry into force was a tribute to their enduring advocacy. The accord was approved initially by 122 nations at the UN General Assembly in 2017. It secured the 50 ratifications it needed to enter into force at the end of last October. The main nuclear powers of the United States, the United Kingdom, Russia, China and France have not signed the treaty. Daniel Johnson, UN News.
The Catholic Diocese of Ngongo in Kenya has launched the St. Joseph's Year in response to the proclamation of the Year of St. Joseph by Pope Francis. the Bishop of Ngongo, the Right Reverend Johnny Obala Owa, said during the launch on Sunday, January 17th, that during the year there will be monthly reflections and prayers to help the faithful internalize the role of Saint Joseph in our Christian life. The year will be concluded on December 4th when the diocese commemorates the Family Day. Describing Saint Joseph, Bishop Obala told reporters a few days ago that he was a righteous and dignified man who was called and chosen by God as the head of God's household. Bishop Obala has asked parish priests in Ngongo Diocese to launch the year of St. Joseph in their parishes this Sunday, January 24th, during the celebration of Holy Mass. The Director General of the World Health Organization, the WHO, Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, has welcomed the decision of the new U.S. President Joe Biden to return to the World Health Organization, which it helped found in 1945 and to which it has been the biggest financial contributor. Ex-US President Donald Trump withdrew US membership from the organization last year after accusing it of being pro-China in handling the COVID-19 pandemic.
The United States has long played a vital role in global health. The US was a founding member of WHO and has been a leader in the fight against many diseases, from smallpox to polio and malaria to HIV. The U.S. contributes an enormous amount to global health. We welcome President Biden's commitment not just to remaining part of the WHO family, but to working constructively with WHO, its member states, and the multilateral system to end the pandemic and address the many health challenges we face globally. We also welcome the United States' commitment to rejoin the Paris Agreement on climate change, which will have major benefits for the health of our planet and for human health.
Dr. Tedros announced on Friday that the World Health Organization had signed an agreement with the Pfizer pharmaceutical company, which developed the first COVID-19 vaccine that is being distributed in the United States of America and in member states of the European Union. The vaccine will be distributed by COVAX, a facility established by the World Health Organization in April this year, to ensure that all countries, poor and rich, have access to COVID-19 vaccines.
I'm glad to announce that COVAX has signed an agreement with Pfizer-BioNTech for up to 40 million doses of its vaccine. Additionally, pending WHO emergency use listing, we expect almost 150 million doses of the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine to be available for distribution by COVAX in the first quarter of this year. COVAX could begin delivering doses in February, provided we can finalize a supply agreement for the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine and emergency use listing for the AstraZeneca Oxford vaccine. COVAX is on track to deliver 2 billion doses by the end of this year. This agreement also opens the door for countries who are willing to share doses of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine to donate them to COVAX and support rapid rollout. The commitment of the United States to join COVAX, together with this new agreement with Pfizer-BioNTech, means that we're closer to fulfilling the promise of COVAX.
Dr. Tedros Ghebreyesus, the Director General of the World Health Organization, speaking there in Geneva on Friday. You are tuned to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to the world around us, news about our environment. I am Festus Tarawali. U.S. President Joe Biden's decision to rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement has been hailed by U.N. Secretary General Antonio Guterres. Wednesday's announcement, which came a few hours after taking office, reverses a U.S. decision in June 2017 to pull out of the agreement reached in Paris to try to reduce global temperature rise to 1.5 degrees above pre-industrial levels by limiting harmful carbon emissions. In a tweet on Thursday, Mr. Gutierrez said, "With all countries fully engaged, we have a real opportunity to prevent climate catastrophe and embark on transformative climate action." Here is an explanation of what the 2015 Paris Agreement on Climate Change is all about and how it works.
What is the Paris Agreement? The Paris Agreement is a legally binding international treaty on climate change to limit global warming to well below 2, preferably to 1.5 degrees Celsius compared to pre-industrial levels. This requires economic and social transformation to face the climate challenges now and moving into the future, based on the best available science. The Paris Agreement works on a 5-year cycle of increasingly ambitious climate action. By 2020, countries communicate their plans known as nationally determined contributions. Countries communicate actions they will take to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions in order to reach the goals of the Paris Agreement. Countries also communicate actions they will take to build resilience to adapt to the impacts of rising temperatures. This may include information on adaptation and finance flows. The Paris Agreement also provides a framework for financial, technical, and capacity building support to those countries who need it. Starting in 2024, countries report transparently on actions taken. Collective progress under the Paris Agreement will be assessed through a global stocktake. This will lead to recommendations for countries to set more ambitious plans in the next round.
The video from the UN Climate Office is available on YouTube. And as we reported in our last program, the Treaty on the Prohibition of Nuclear Weapons entered into force on Friday, the 22nd of January, thus becoming a part of international law. In a post on Twitter in support of the UN Accord, Pope Francis said, "I strongly encourage all states and all people to work decisively towards promoting conditions necessary for a world without nuclear weapons, contributing to the advancement of peace and multilateral cooperation which humanity greatly needs today." Lydia O'Kane has this report on the new treaty.
The first ever treaty on the prohibition of nuclear weapons, or TPNW, is now part of international law, coming into force on Friday after decades of negotiations. It's been hailed as an historic step to rid the world of these deadly arms, but not everyone is happy. Countries known to possess nuclear weapons have not signed up to the treaty, including the United States, Russia, Britain, China, and France. It was adopted on the 7th of July 2017 and opened for signature on the 20th of September. On that same day, Archbishop Paul Richard Gallagher, the Vatican's Secretary for Relations with States, signed the treaty at the United Nations headquarters in New York. The TPNW secured the 50 ratifications it needed to enter into force at the end of last October, and as of Thursday, 61 countries had ratified it. The treaty states that all ratifying countries never under any circumstances develop, test, produce, manufacture, otherwise acquire, possess or stockpile nuclear weapons or other nuclear explosive devices. It also bans any transfer or use of nuclear weapons or nuclear explosive devices and the threat to use such weapons. In a statement, the UN Secretary General described the treaty as an important step towards a world free of nuclear weapons. Speaking to UN News, the Executive Secretary of the Comprehensive Nuclear Test Ban Treaty Organization, Lassina Zerbo, spoke of the devastating consequences of nuclear weapons and said they should never again be used.
"The message remained that we cannot forget the devastating consequences of nuclear weapon use and testing. Just as the atomic bomb survivors, the Ibakusha, remind us that never again should nuclear weapon be used, we need to also ensure that never again will nuclear testing occur."
Pope Francis voiced his support for the treaty at his Wednesday general audience and appealed for all nations to work toward a world without nuclear weapons. The best way to do this, he said, is by contributing to the advancement of peace and multilateral cooperation, which humanity greatly needs. I'm Lydia O'Kane.
And that's all for this edition of The World Around Us, news about our environment. Till the same time next week, I am Festus Tarawali.
You have been listening to the English Africa service of Vatican Radio, and I am Johnny Baptist Tomosime. In our next program at the same time tomorrow, you can hear our report with the Pope on Sunday. Praised be Jesus Christ. Laudetur Jesus Christus.
The one that we have seen with our own eyes, the one that we have touched and felt with our own hands, the one that we have heard with our own ears, the one that in the depths of our hearts we have met. He is the one who we proclaim to you. His splendor is on all, for he shines upon the world.
So many in our world drifting to sleep, while others only know a darkness without end. Let brothers rise to call them from the deep. Let sisters take their hands to heal and be their friends. Together let us stand against the storm. And in the heart of night, be the watchers of